Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Welcome to the 15th Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We also recognize significant anniversaries, including the 50th anniversary of the decision to ordain women. The 40th anniversary of the ordination of the first woman of color. And the 10th anniversary of this church's decision to remove barriers to ordination for people in same-gender marriages. This is not just a celebration for women or women of color or for the LGBTQIA community. These are decisions of this whole church, and this is a celebration for the whole church.
That's Elizabeth Eaton, presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, speaking at the ELCA Churchwide Assembly in Milwaukee this week. They've got a lot of things on their mind. They're in the news just recently. Religion News Service reports that almost 600 delegates from the convention marched down in Milwaukee to the ICE Center there to protest immigration policy on U.S. government. They're thinking about gun control. They're thinking about diversity. They're always thinking about human sexuality in every variation that can be imagined. What's going on in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and why does it seem to be preoccupied with so many things that have so little to do with the Word of God in a direct sense? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, currently underway. After that, the conclusion of our series answering the question, are creation and evolution compatible? Dr. Doyle Holbird will be our guest, and then Terry Mattingly joins us to talk about the Washington Post story about journalism at Liberty University. There is a little bit of a restriction being put on what the journalists there, or the journalists in making, can do there at Liberty. We'll find out what it is and how it's being covered. Joining us to talk about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, Dr. Uwe Simonetto. He's a former member of the ELCA. He's former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Why did you leave the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America?
Well, because the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America rated human concupiscence more highly than the Word of God. It's a very simple thing. I studied theology late in life, and I had really a very earthly life in there before that. I was a foreign correspondent. I know all about concupiscence, okay? I didn't need a church that rated concupiscence more highly, that lust and desire more highly than the Word of God. I was looking for the Word of God.
The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has assembled for its churchwide assembly, and they have a list of priorities that to the kind of the churchly ear seem a little off-center. They're not illegitimate priorities for Christians in the civil realm, but they seem to be odd for a church body, beginning with gun violence. Why do you think a church body like the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America would make that one of its priorities in its assembly?
Because they have totally forgotten what the duties of a church or the mission of a church is, and it is to preach Christ crucified. That's it. And not to meddle excessively in secular affairs. Now, gun violence is an important issue, but it's not the most important issue for a church. The most important topic for a church is to preach repentance and forgiveness. That is the point. That's why, where is the Church of Christ? And this, by the way, it started when I was in seminary. I was in seminary in the mid-80s or late 80s in Chicago. It began already then. I mean, I can't say that all our professors were that way. Actually, we had some very, very good and faithful Christian professors. But I noticed it then, and it got worse and worse and worse. And so it's pointless. The church is maneuvering itself into a hole out of which it never will come again.
Another priority that they have set that they want to discuss and pass resolutions regarding is immigration. And of course, that is a very hot political topic in the United States, and I imagine in Western Europe as well. But there's not a lot of thus saith the Lord about public policy on immigration.
No, it is not. The church can say you have to welcome the stranger, you have to welcome the wanderer, and all these things. That's a church should do that. But it is not the topic. And there are reasons why immigration has become a contentious issue in the United States, as it has in Europe, where I'm now. And that has to be discussed in politics, but it doesn't belong to the church. It doesn't belong to a church body. You can sit down and discuss it from a theological perspective, but it is not the issue. What we need, what the world needs in its present condition, is a faithful church, faithful to the Word of God, faithful to Christ's gospel of Christ's self-sacrifice for our sins, and therefore for our repair, for our life, for eternity. Everything else is secondary and tertiary.
Has the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America essentially abandoned the Thus Saith the Lord of the Ten Commandments and written itself a new set of commandments regarding these social issues?
Evidently it has, but then it's not alone in this issue. I mean, you know, the liberal Protestants in Germany, including liberal Lutherans, so-called Lutherans, are doing the same thing, and the two churches, two continents, seem to reinfect each other with this horrible virus that comes out of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America, comes out of the Episcopal Church, United Methodist Church, and what name you. And I think it is unfaithfulness. Basically, I cannot see any other explanation for that.
You say that a lot of this, of course, has its seeds in the 19th century and the early 20th century, but a lot of it also has its roots right back in Germany itself. What do you mean by that?
Well, of course, you know, you had the liberal Protestantism of the 19th century that drifted into the 20th century and crossed the Atlantic. The historical critical method is the only way of reading scripture or interpreting scripture, which of course is nonsense. We learned this in seminary and it was interesting, but I still say God said, because that's what scripture is all about, and not because it seems to make more sense the other way around, the way I think, I happen to think in my little earthly mind. And so, you know, it came over. Now take, for example, a very interesting topic I've recently been discussing with German colleagues. You had Nietzsche saying God is dead, okay? Then you had the Americans, Princeton, for example, saying God is dead much later. That drifted over to Germany. It became then even more systematized, and as God is dead. Or then the whole is putting into question basic statutes of the creeds, such as, for example, the virgin birth, and, of course, the resurrection of Christ. We have in Germany right now a bishop, the Bishop of Berlin, the Protestant Bishop of Berlin, who denies the resurrection, the bodily resurrection, And says, and so you know, he, a friend of my godson, who happens to be a Lutheran pastor and the CEO and editor-in-chief of the German equivalent of Christianity Today, then asked me, tell me, what do you do Sundays when you speak the Nicene Creed? Do you cross your fingers behind your back? And then, of course, his press secretary was, of course, also a pastor with a double name, a double-barreled name, woman pastor, said, why do you deny that we are faithful Christians? I said, well, you're lying. Either you're lying in church or you're lying to us, but it doesn't work. And you have the same thing going on in the ELCA and those other liberal church bodies that question the creeds that have stood us in good stead for the last 1700 years.
Another priority for the Evangelical Lutheran Church's assembly this week, kind of a complex of ideas, both sexism and what they term as diversity, which I take to mean the diversity of views on human sexuality. Can you explain to me, Uwe, the obsession that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America has had for the last 30 or 40 years with human sexuality and every diverse variation on it that they can think of?
Again, same thing you have in Europe. I can't explain this to you. I mean, but that's what I said in my opening, and that's what I meant. They take concupiscence more seriously than God's word. It's my desire that matters, not God's word. And if God doesn't listen to my desire, if it doesn't cooperate with me, well, to hell with God. They don't even see how satanic this is. You might remember that in the early 2000s when the first homosexual episcopal bishop was ordained or consecrated in New Hampshire. And Archbishop Akinola, the primate of the Anglican Church of Nigeria, a wonderful man who we became good friends to, said, this is a satanic attack upon the body of Christ. And I think we should be very, very clear about that. What the Episcopal Church is doing and what the ELCA is doing with this homosexuality, this whole issue, sexuality issue, is a satanic attack. It's giving in not to the word of God, but to the desire of the self. And, of course, the desire of the self is an expression in that particular sense of satanic power.
We're talking with Dr. Uwe Simonetto about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. We are going to take up the subject of their anniversaries. They're going to be celebrating several of them. The ordination of women, the ordination of the first openly homosexual clergyman, and I think the joint declaration on the doctrine of justification. Talk about all of those after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August is the new Growing in Faith Bible. It's written for children, grandchildren, and godchildren, ages 8 through 10. The Growing in Faith Bible contains more than 100 Bible stories with beautiful, engaging pictures. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. The Growing in Faith Bible, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August.
Discover a truly Lutheran approach to education. Concordia University Chicago's Center for the Advancement of Lutheran Liberal Arts supports a vibrant, growing community of classical educators. Whether you're a teacher, administrator, parent, or homeschooler, we have the resources and contacts you need to start a child's journey into the Lutheran Liberal Arts. Visit cuchicago.edu/cala. That's C-A-L-L-A.
Lutheran. It's not a label. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Churchwide Assembly of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Dr. Uwe C. Minetto is our guest, a former member of the ELCA, former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. I'm looking at our Issues Etc. book of the month for August, which is a storybook, a Bible storybook called The Growing in Faith Bible Storybook. Very beginning stories. God creates the world. The next one, God creates Adam and Eve. Then sin enters the world. Then Cain and Abel. All of those stories are no longer required parts of the Christian faith in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, but they are strongly affirmed and taught in the Issues Etc. book of the month for August called The Growing in Faith Bible Storybook from Concordia Publishing House. It's designed for children ages 8 through 10. It's a youth Bible, if you will. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. It's right there on the homepage, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and ask them about the Growing in Faith Bible Storybook, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. Uwe, the ELCA is taking some time during its churchwide assembly this week to celebrate some anniversaries, the first of which is, I believe, the 50th anniversary of the ordination of women. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, when I entered seminary in 1986 in Chicago, I had no particular thoughts about female pastors, you know. But it's very strange. Already while in seminary, I realized that somehow, sexuality and the femininity seem to play a more important role among women pastors than the Word of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't have this issue. There were very, very faithful women, Christian women in my class, but very few of those of my class actually ever became ordained. Mind you, I didn't become ordained either because my wife said, you will not make a good pastor. You better get a PhD and write about theology, and she was probably right. But in my case, it wasn't a sexuality issue. But I had that feeling even then there was something desperately wrong. This, in the middle of courses, you suddenly had women students, seminarians, raised the issue of gender inclusiveness, for example, in the liturgy. And a wonderful professor we had, J. Rochelle, said, well, then, do you think that God is a man? And because I groaned, sat in the back of the class, an old man groaning. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think that God has a scrotum, but this is just ridiculous. I mean, here we're discussing, questioning something that has been around for such a long time and has served us well. I know that there are women who are very faithfully preaching the Word of God. I've heard them. But I don't think that it is, if you believe in the order of creation, in orders of creation, I don't think that ordination of women is within the order of creation.
Also, they are celebrating a shorter anniversary of the ordination of the first openly homosexual clergy. Do the two relate to one another, do you think?
Yes. Yes, because it is in both cases non-theological issues take on a greater importance or have taken on a greater importance than theological issues. Non-theological, non-divine things that people cooked up for themselves become more significant than the Word of God. And in that sense, of course, they are related. And you know, it's not going to end there, Todd. I promise you, within a few years' time, you will find that maybe there will be more than two partners in marriage will be blessed, you know, or will be allowed to marry and that sort of thing, because it's not... The tragedy of all this is that one of the most beautiful things God has given us, namely our sexuality, is being used to destroy the church. And I find that pathetic.
Another set of anniversaries being celebrated by the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America at its assembly are their ecumenical partnerships that they have formed in the last 20 years, among them the United Methodist Church, the Moravian Church, the Episcopal Church, the Reformed Church in America, and the Presbyterian Church USA, and the United Church of Christ, all of those being celebrated. What is the impulse here in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America to have altar and pulpit fellowship with non-Lutheran church bodies?
Well, they want to be fancy. They think Lutheran was not smart. It wasn't elegant to be Lutheran. Lutheran was so very German it was much more elegant to be Episcopalian and to be a WASP. You know, Lutherans weren't actually WASPs. I think it is that. It's a very, very strange phenomenon. I noticed that when I was in Chicago in seminary, that we became more and more like Episcopalians. And I remember us saying, at least we're beer-drinking Episcopalians, you know. But the theological differences were not even considered. I mean, how can you have altar fellowship, say, with the Presbyterians or with the low church Episcopalians, when these churches don't believe in the real presence? So what can you do? Again, this is like this bishop in Berlin that I'm talking about. When they take their communion, when they take the wine, bread and wine, do they cross their fingers behind the back and say, well, you know, you can either say it is the true body of the blood of Christ, or it symbolizes that. They have lost the sense in the ELCA, the sense of what is significant in Lutheranism and in theology. So therefore, they are actually they're immaterial, and I think they're going to decline. The whole church is going to collapse one day, maybe not tomorrow or the day after, but it's going to collapse because it is no longer the body of Christ. There are so many differences between the Lutherans and the Methodists. So why don't we just pursue, be ecumenical, do good things together, that's all fine. But don't say we have altar and pulpit fellowship. It's ridiculous.
Also, they are celebrating the 20th anniversary of the joint declaration on the doctrine of justification that was co-signed between the Lutheran World Federation, which includes the ELCA,
yeah,
and the Roman Catholic Church. Is that something that Lutherans ought to be celebrating, the joint declaration?
Well, they shouldn't be celebrating it until it is properly done. And there are many open questions. I mean, I think it was an interesting step, but it is not the end of it. It's not. We are still not on the same plate theologically. Therefore, we should say, well, fine, let's, if you want to have a glass of wine on that, it's fine. But right now, we are by no means one church body.
What are your general thoughts on something that you just mentioned, which is the decline of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which is proceeding apace with the decline of virtually every other of the mainline Protestant denominations? And we're talking about somewhere in the neighborhood of 30% to 40%. In the last 30 years. What are your thoughts on that decline?
Well, I've long been thinking that we are returning to the catacombs. The Church of Christ will survive this crisis. It's surviving it beautifully in other countries and other continents, in Asia and Africa. And in America and in Europe, it declines, but there are small, faithful Christians that will persist and continue. I think we have to just make sure that there are enough people who read the scripture, who preach the gospel, to do all this to the people who are totally at a loss. I'll give you an example. 30 years ago, on the 9th of October, you had the peaceful revolution in East Germany, which ultimately led to the collapse of the communist regime. This all took place under the roof of the basically Lutheran churches in Eastern Germany. A beautiful thing. The churches preached the right thing. They preached, they gave a roof to all opponents of the regime without involving itself in politics. It's very, very interesting. But they said, well, if you want to demonstrate, you have to do that without violence. And I remember that on that 9th of October in 1989, the text on which the pastors in the Leipzig churches preached was Proverbs 25:15, with patience a ruler will be persuaded, and a soft tongue breaks the bone. And the church survived, the atheistic state collapsed. But then the tragedy happened, and that's, you know, you have that throughout church history. The tragedy happened that instead of now teaching the gospel to the population that had been deprived of proper religious instruction, they brought in liberal Protestantism from West Germany. And now the Eastern German church, which had was small but powerful, so powerful that it contributed to the fall of an atheist state, is so small now. I just have in front of me a number of confirmations. 15,700 confirmations last year, as opposed to 40,000 atheistic celebrations, the sort of communist counterpart of that. We are now 30 years on. We should be celebrating the church bells. I mean, they didn't even ring the church bells when Germany was reunified. The Protestants did, and the Catholics did, and they bought all this nonsense from West Germany, little West German thing from the 1968 movement within the church, and that again is what we got over from the United States, which we sent. I mean, I have a feeling, you know, the churches in Europe and in America are reinfecting each other as HIV positive, both of them. It's just appalling what they've been doing. Instead of faithfully preaching gospel, it's nothing complicated. Just believe and preach, otherwise don't become a pastor. And I noticed even in Germany, as I noticed in America, or here in France, that where the gospel is preached properly, you get enough people in a church, you get the churches are full. Even now in Germany, you get full churches where the gospel is preached, and you find this in America too. But I think it is, we are living in an eon of lies, as Archbishop Akinola said, of a satanic attack upon the body of church by non-believers who dictate the policies of the church and dictate a doctrine, and a doctrine that is not commensurate with Scripture.
The other anniversary being celebrated by the ELCA was a declaration they made 25 years ago repudiating Martin Luther's anti-Semitic writings and apologizing to Jewish people. They've even planned a litany of repentance for the assembly based upon that declaration. This is something that you've spent a lot of time researching, Martin Luther and the Jewish issue. What do you make of their 25-year-old apology?
First of all, how can you apologize for something somebody said by now 500 years ago? Now, this is the first thing. Second thing is, he was never an anti-Semite. He was not a racist. He did say and write horrible things late in life, early in life, when he was actually the reformer of the church in Germany. He was very pro-Jewish and was made some wonderful remarks about the Jewish people, and prayed that he would be be able to baptize Jews and all that sort of thing. Again, you can reject, and you must one must reject what Luther said late in life in, about the Jews, which was based, by the way, on lies and the rumors in Germany as you go back into the Middle Ages that Jews kidnapped Christian and murdered Christian girls, children, and used their blood for a ritual sacrifice. That was the thing, which is, of course, these were rumors and they were false. Any Lutheran should say, well, no, I do not agree with Martin Luther on that. But Martin Luther did so many other things. He taught us scripture, and he taught us that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ's work on the cross for us and in his resurrection, which was forgotten by then. But you see, again, they don't want to say this because they're embarrassed by Luther because he said horrible things. Well, listen, then no church in the world, including the Roman Catholic Church that burned Jews at the stake on in pots, should be allowed to preach or about to mention that it's horrible things have been said about the Jews, but it is to make this the main topic, like in 2017 at the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, is again ludicrous.
Speaking of that anniversary of the Reformation in 2017, in October of that year, I had the opportunity to interview Bishop Elizabeth Eaton, who was then the newly elected presiding bishop of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, and she has been reelected at this assembly. I asked her near the end of that conversation, Uwe, if the ELCA considered the Lutheran confessions to be a right exposition of Holy Scripture. Her answer was curious. She said, the Lutheran confessions, they are a right exposition and witness to the gospel, and that's part of our ordination vows. I noticed that she substituted the gospel for Holy Scripture. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, it's interesting. It also meant that whatever, for example, the church might say, the scripture or testament might say about homosexuality, would then not be taken seriously. She has to say these things in order to justify whatever the ELCA is doing on sexual issues. Scripture is the law and scripture is the gospel. You know, to deny the law that you find in the Old Testament, for example, especially on topics of homosexuality, and to belittle it, is of course what's wrong.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is a native of Germany. He's a former religion editor for United Press International, founder and emeritus director of the Center for Lutheran Theology and Public Life, and author of the book The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Modern Myths. You'll find a link to Uwe's book, The Fabricated Luther, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand Archives. Uwe, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much.
When we come back, the conclusion of our three-part series, asking and answering the question, are creation and evolution compatible? Dr. Doyle Holbird will be our guest.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.
In a city known for the latest in songwriting and the performance of music, we offer the sweet sound of the timeless gospel and the historic liturgy in worship. Redeemer Lutheran Church in Nashville, Tennessee is a place where God's people receive the gifts of Christ and sing praises with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. If you are vacationing in Music City or are moving to the area, please join us for divine service at 10:30. Find out more at redeemernashville.org.
Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead."
Morning Chapel from Cramer Chapel.
"And that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations."
Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Faith Lutheran, East Wenatchee, Washington. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemont, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. Resurrection Lutheran, Louisville, Kentucky. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. And Hope Lutheran, Fremont, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.